closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
Good morning. I'm Earl Brooker on the Jerry Bader Show. Jerry's got a couple of days of vacation. I'll be taking care of duties today. And Will McKinley, who you hear do lawyer up with Matt and Mike on Friday mornings generally, will be filling in tomorrow. And then Jerry returns on Monday. I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Some things we want, of course, as always, to you to participate in and discuss. Some of the things that are going to be coming up this morning, we hear a lot about prevailing wage, and there has been discussion in Madison from the Democrats that this is going to cost the state of Wisconsin oodles and oodles and oodles and oodles of money if we get rid of prevailing wage, because outside contractors will come in and take over projects and that sort of thing. Well, we're going to get a little different take on that from Dr. Will Flanders. He is the research director for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. We'll talk to him at 10:06 this morning. Also, 9:35 this morning, we'll have a guest via telephone as well. That will be Captain Todd Freeman of the Appleton Police Department. And he has been here before. Very, very personable guy and willing to take your questions on things. And the only difference is you'll have to be very specific with your questions so that Kyle can type them up for me and I can ask Captain Freeman those questions. But we're going to talk about a number of things in regards to that. They've got a survey that the Appleton Police Department is sending out to a limited number of citizens, but we'll find out what that's all about. Also, as always, we will answer your questions. Well, actually, Captain Freeman will answer your questions. I'll just relay them. And also, we'll talk about things about crime that in winter, remind you that a lot of things that happen with crime is it's always crimes of opportunity. And in the winter, it's cars being stolen when they're running with the keys in them. Well, there are also some summertime crimes of opportunity that we'll talk to Captain Freeman about as well. And I got to say, one of my certainly least important topics of the day, but we'll have some fun with it. There was a study, not that we needed to have one on this, but who's having more sex, Republicans or Democrats? Just when you thought they had run out of things to study, that topic comes to light. So all of that and a whole lot more, we'll be talking about jury in the Bill Cosby trial. One of the jurors is speaking out about what happened there. And Jerry was not exactly right on his prediction as far as why there was a mistrial in that case. But he was very, very close in being right in the number of jurors that probably held out. So we'll talk about that. Also, the Democratic Party. Now, what we hear oftentimes is no matter what's going on, they circle the wagons and they all stick together. Well, they've lost some elections. There's been, I believe, 4 special elections that have taken place, and the Republicans have maintained their seats in all of those. And now there seems to be perhaps a bit of infighting. We'll talk about that as the show progresses as well. And also one other fun topic, shorts in the workplace. An answer that a person in Britain gave to when he was sent home for wearing shorts. And we'll get all of that in and a whole lot more. But where we're going to start this morning is a topic, I will confess, I'm not a craft beer drinker, okay? I shouldn't say that. I'm not a connoisseur, I guess would be a better description, because my experience with craft beers, I'm a spotted cow guy. I'll drink that. So it's not that I'm opposed to it, it's just I'm not an expert on that like Jerry is. Jerry is very, very good in that respect. And there's a story in the Press Gazette today. Now, Jerry had talked about this a while back, and apparently it's still causing some angst in the beer market. And the story is headlined, "Proposal Could Curtail Craft Brewers' On-Site Sales." A proposal that could curtail craft brewers' ability to directly sell their products has put the burgeoning Green Bay craft beer scene on alert. Earlier this month, a proposal circulated among state legislators that would change how Wisconsin regulates the production, distribution, and sale of beer, wine, and alcohol. Now, currently, the state has a three-tier system and regulations that prohibit cross-ownership of companies that produce, distribute, and sell beer, wine, and alcohol. However, smaller breweries are allowed to operate on-site tap rooms under the law. Now, their concern is that the proposal would require craft breweries to stop selling beer on site or buy their own product backed from distributors. Wisconsin Brewers Guild Executive Director Mark Garthwaite said the proposal was circulated without any input from craft brewers, vintners, and distillers, and without consideration of their economic impact. Craft brewers account for less than 10% of all beer produced in Wisconsin, but a majority of the brewing jobs, and they're spread out across the state. So while it's a small percentage, it's a special art of doing craft beers. So it has a lot of employees that do this because you don't have the, in most cases, the mass production like you would of a major brewer. And we're spread out across the state, Garthwaite said. We're talking billions of economic impact in the craft sector alone, from the manufacturers that build fermenters to canners. Why would you put the handcuffs on that economic engine? And again, I guess this goes back to that bottom line question of regulations tend to cost money. No matter how they might seem quite innocent, they cost businesses money, which means it costs you money. The proposal has not been introduced as a formal bill, but local legislators, brewers, advocacy groups, and consumers are all closely watching Madison to see what happens. Now, it could have an impact on us for sure, Stillmank Brewing Company founder Brad Stillmank said. It's something we're watching closely. Breweries large and small are watching it to see what's going to happen. It's hard to say what will shake out. State Representative Eric Genrich, a Democrat from Green Bay, said the craft brewers across the state have contacted him to express concern about the proposal. Genrich said the fact that no legislator has agreed to introduce the bill is positive. It's one of those hands-off things. People are talking about it, they're circulating it, but no one wants to put their name on it. It's something that seems to have been proposed by a lobbyist, and no one is taking ownership of that idea, Genrich said. That's reassuring, but there are no guarantees this couldn't come in at the last minute through a budget amendment. Alloway Planning and Zoning Administrator Trevor Fuller said village officials took notice of the proposal because it could impact the village's work with Zambaldi Beer to build a brewery and tap room on the former Village Hall site on Webster Avenue. This would potentially, for Zambaldi, kill the project, Fuller said. Zambaldi is looking at being a local bar, estimating production of about 5,000 barrels a year, and looking at a majority of sales out of their tap room. Now, that three-tier system that we talked about works like this. Brewers, vintners, and distillers manufacture beer, wine, or alcohol. They sell it to wholesale distributors that sell the product to bars, restaurants, and retailers. State law prohibits cross-ownership among manufacturers, distributors, and retailers to prevent monopolies while allowing exceptions for smaller producers, hence craft beers. Garthwaite said the system dates to the 1930s when the federal government gave states the power to regulate the alcohol industry. He said 51 systems, including the District of Columbia, have evolved over the last 85 years. The proposal causing a stir calls for the creation of a new agency in the State Department of Revenue to regulate and enforce alcohol laws across the state. The plan would also prohibit cross-ownership of any sort without a specific statutory exception, meaning a craft brewery falls under the same guidelines and laws as a major brewery. And that's where craft brewers and vintners are most concerned. In addition to tap beer, craft breweries also sell crawlers, growlers, six-packs, and cases of beer at their tap rooms. In the case of smaller operations like Zimbaldi or Noble Roots Brewing Company, the tap room is the only place consumers can buy the brewery's product, meaning they would no longer be able to do so without working with the wholesaler. Now, think about that. And it was touched on earlier in the story from the Press Gazette that we're sharing this morning. And that is that if you're a craft brewery, if this would become law, you'd make your beer, you'd sell it to a wholesaler, and then you'd have to buy it back from the wholesaler to sell in your own establishment. And a lot of these craft beers, you know, it's an oddity, or I shouldn't say an oddity, but there's not a lot of mass distribution of those craft beers. A lot of them, you go to that particular brewery and you enjoy the beverage. And this would certainly cause that whole situation an issue. Garth White said, brewers of all sizes have come out in support of the present system in effect as effective and fair to all three sectors of the business. We recognize that regulations are necessary for protecting the public and industry participants, but protectionist regulations are not appropriate. We want to promote healthy competition, Garth White said. This would be the exact opposite. Representative David Steffen, a Republican from Alloway, declined to comment on the proposal until it is formally introduced to the Assembly, as did K Distributing Company General Sales Manager Todd Pennings. Craft brewers, vintners, and distillers appear to have bipartisan support behind them. Representative Dale Cuenga, a Republican from Brookfield, told the Wisconsin State Journal he will oppose the proposal if it comes up for formal consideration. Americans for Prosperity has launched a series of web ads defending distilleries, wineries, and craft breweries. Quote, we fear that the two-pronged motion could preclude at least one common practice at dozens of small businesses in Wisconsin from continuing. We're also told by these entrepreneurs that the motion could reduce revenues and limit growth and investment in these sectors in the future. I just find this whole thing fascinating. The discussion, like I said, Jerry is much more of the knowledge of the craft beer industry and enjoys those aspects. But it just seems that there's been a lot of discussion about this potential proposal. This is not something that's been introduced that they're debating. It's something that's just kind of hanging out there in the weeds and could have a major impact on craft breweries, but yet it hasn't been introduced and there's no indication if and when that would happen. But when is the last time, and I'm just kind of asking rhetorically, when's the last time a proposal that may not ever be introduced has attracted this kind of attention? Obviously, as I said, it's caused a lot of angst among the craft brew industry and what the impact could be. So we'll have to wait and see if it ever does get introduced or if it just goes by the wayside and they don't have to worry about it. But like I said, it's certainly causing a great deal of discussion. Got to move on to a Packer story. And again, I don't know how to say this because I understand people make mistakes in their life, but when you make a mistake and then you make another mistake, and while that mistake hasn't even been punished yet, you make another mistake. That seems to deem a pattern, and I'm not sure what the end result is going to be of this, but I'm not thinking it could be a good thing. LaTroy Guyon, his future with the Green Bay Packers is even more in doubt after he was arrested Wednesday in Hawaii and charged with driving under the influence. Again, who was under suspension for the first four games of the 2017 season for violating the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances, was found to have a blood alcohol level of 0.086 during a routine traffic stop. The legal limit in Hawaii is 0.08 as it is in Wisconsin. And, you know, I know some people's reaction will be, he's a football player, cut him some slack, he was 0.086. Being a little drunk is like being a little pregnant. The end result is the same thing, that you violated the law, and that's what happened here. The Packers are aware of the matter involving LaTroy Guyon, a Packers spokesman said. We will refrain from making any further comment as it is an ongoing legal matter. Honolulu police said that Guyon was pulled over at 4:20 a.m. Honolulu time during a routine traffic stop. Guyon, who turned 30 on Wednesday, was released on $500 bail. The Packers had not indicated how long they would keep Guyon on the roster after his second suspension in March, but because he would be suspended without pay for those 4 weeks, it would cost the team nothing to retain him as an insurance policy in the event that it needed a defensive lineman. The 2017 suspension was Guyon's second with the Packers, as I mentioned, who signed him as a street free agent in 2014. Guyon's first suspension came after he was stopped in February 2015 in Florida because his truck was swerving across the center line. Officers found a gun, 3/4 of a pound of marijuana, and $190,000 in cash. He pleaded no contest to possession of marijuana and paid a $5,000 fine. As a result, he served a 3-game suspension at the start of the 2015 NFL season. And his legal troubles began before he joined the Packers. He had been charged in criminal cases 3 times, including a stalking charge and 2 domestic violence incidents that resulted in 3 counts of battery. And in one case, he was charged with hitting the mother of his child in the jaw. The Packers had signed Guyon to a 3-year deal in February of 2016 worth up to $11 million. The contract was heavy on incentives and contained only $500,000 in guaranteed money. According to an ESPN report, Guyon and the Packers agreed to move to off-season roster bonuses of $400,000 into the regular season, helping the team put off a decision on whether to cut Guyon loose. So, boy, I'll tell you, I feel bad for the guy, but, you know, I just, how long can a team put up with somebody being suspended multiple times? And this is not going to bode well, I'm sure, with the commissioner, and especially when it happens, I realize it was the guy's birthday. But still, you gotta be smart. It's called designated drivers or staying home and celebrating your 30th birthday. But it's not like he's a kid. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, a rookie in the NFL and got his first job and his first paycheck, and that's not the case at all. And so we'll see what happens, but I guess my thought would be disappointing for me with LaTroy Guyon that he continues to have the problems when he's been given additional chances with the Packers and the NFL. And I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. Coming up after 9 o'clock this morning, we are going to be talking about a number of things, but we're going to start off with Colorado, and I want your input on this. Some Colorado teachers are spending time at the gun range this summer. I'll tell you why and get your thoughts on it, so be ready for that coming up after the news. It is 9 o'clock. I'm Earl Brooker in for Jerry Bader on The Jerry Bader Show.
News, talk, sports. WTAQ Green Bay. WTAQ FM Glenmore. A service of Midwest Communications.